Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Mark Cerise, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for John Marks alongside Ike. Jack behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. We'll get back to all the Sixers conversation and, of course, our discussion on Fletcher Cox and if it's time for the Eagles to consider moving on from him a year too early rather than a year too late. But right now we have to talk to Ruben Amaro. He's a weekly guest here on this show, and he joins us right now to talk about the Phillies, who open up a big series tonight against the Atlanta Braves right here in Philadelphia. Ruben, how you doing today?
Joe, how you doing? How's it going, Ike?
What's up, Rube?
What's happening?
Rube, we're good. And, a big series start tonight. We'll get to that. But we got to ask you about the Scott Kingery decision the Phillies made yesterday. Just really the entire Scott Kingery saga it's been for a couple years. The Phillies outright him off the 40-man roster. He's going to go down to AAA. Ruben, what's your thought on the move here? It seems to me this is a clear indication they're going to give him a lot of time down there. And, you know, by not having him on the 40, there's not a temptation to bring him back when they just need someone. He could just kind of go to AAA and stay at AAA for a while.
Yeah, I think it's probably the right thing for them to do. Obviously, they want to clear some roster space for one, but two, I think they probably wanted to check to see if there's anybody who had interest and might want to take them off their hands. I'm not sure, frankly, and I'm a little disappointed, obviously. I mean, this is a guy who's got a lot of ability. I think it was a debacle that happened as far as his overall progression was concerned. They changed, or he changed, I'm not sure what happened, the chicken or the egg. He changed his whole approach to hitting, and it's taken him out of being able to be a productive, professional baseball player right now. I think he's got a lot of ability still. It's just a matter of him being able to get back to where he can be effective. And his swing changed, the fact that they, moved him all over the place defensively. I just don't think those were the right things to do for the young man.
Just talk about the impact that has on a player, Ruben. That's the great thing about you. Not only your former front office personnel member, but you played the game. And I'm just wondering, with a guy like Scott Kingery, when you don't necessarily know what role you're filling every day you go to the ballpark, how does that impact how you prepare and then your confidence, and when in your confidence level you have when you're actually out there performing?
Yeah, for a guy like Scott Kingery, who's a guy who came through the, he came like a rocket through the system and was playing very well. I mean, he was ticketed to be an everyday second baseman. When he got to the major leagues, they decided, well, he's so athletic, let's play him at third, let's play him at short. He's got the ability to play a little center field. I just don't know that was the right thing to do for the guy. Had they let them just play second base and let him be who he is, it may have been different. Now, he does have to take responsibility for his own actions as far as his offense is concerned. It just seemed like he, for whatever reason, decided that it was important, as have many players in the game today, that it's time for him to hit more home runs and drive the ball out of the ballpark, and as many have, and many who have failed now, and you see the product of the game. These guys are just not concentrating on making good solid contact and using the entire field. He's gotten away from that, and I think he's going to try to get back to that in order to be a productive major leaguer again.
We're talking to Ruben Amaro Jr. here on the Phillies. Open up a big series tonight against the Atlanta Braves. Ruben, the Phillies called up Luke Williams, who's been in the minor leagues with this team for a while, kind of having a breakout year, part of the Olympic team, but now he's coming up here. And he was part of your last draft, I believe. 2015 he was drafted, your final year as general manager in Philadelphia. What do you know about Luke? What do you remember about him? And your thoughts on him as a player, because he's coming up here, I assume, to fill some sort of utility bench role for the Phillies, at least for the short term.
Yeah, you know, he's a versatile kid. He's very athletic. He has the ability to play a variety of different positions. I think we originally drafted him probably as a third baseman. And but he has, you know, he can run a little bit. He's got some instinct. And from what I've seen and what I've heard about him, because I haven't got a chance to see him play a lot, obviously, not too many guys played last year. And I saw him a little bit in spring training a couple of years. But, you know, he's a... you know, he's one of those kids you like to have around because he has the ability to do a variety of different things. I'm not sure if he'll be a everyday type of a player, but he's got some versatility and it gives Joe, you know, a lot of options as far as where he can play.
Ruben, Phillies win 2 out of 3 over the weekend against the Nationals, and it feels like now is a pivot point of the season. This schedule's about to get really tough with the Braves, the Yankees. I know they're not playing great, but they're still the Yankees. Dodgers, Giants next week. You look at the schedule here. This feels like an important time. How are you feeling about this team right now? They've won 3 out of 4. They've beaten the Reds and the Nationals. Do you feel like we're seeing an upswing here? Are you feeling better about what you're seeing the last week or so?
Well, you like to have Harper and Realmuto back in the lineup, and obviously they want to get Didi back in the lineup as well. They really have not had their starting eight on the field very often, but I think they've only had their starting eight really, their projected starting eight, only one or two times in the lineup. So it was a team built basically around offense. The team obviously is not producing offensively the way they thought it would. Reasons. One, production, and two, probably as for many, it's been about health, right? But I think they, you know, I'm not sure what they have, and it's going to be very curious to see how they play against the teams that are over 500 and the teams that are really vetted to win. It'll be an excellent test for them. It'll give Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold a real idea as to where they are and what kind of club they are. These next 3 weeks are going to be critical for them, and it'll be interesting to see. If they come out on top and play well, that's a nice light at the end of the tunnel. You'll see guys, obviously guys will be playing well and swinging the bat well, and if that happens, you might see them as buyers instead of sellers.
Yeah, some exciting games coming up in this month when you look at the level of competition they're going to be playing against, Ruben. And I have to imagine, former player, we get excited when we know when we're going up against one of the best teams in our league. So with Atlanta as a divisional opponent coming in, Yankees on the weekend, we know the type of status they bring. And then you go on the road for the Dodgers and the Giants. And then the Nats, this could be a month. I know it looks daunting right now to have to see these teams, but this also can light a fire under us and bring out that competitive side, and maybe we can get some wins out of these series.
Yeah, that's make a great point, because I think over the last several years, it seems like the Phillies seem to play to the level of their competition, quote unquote, and hopefully they play good, solid baseball, and it helps catapult them towards a contending season. Right now, they're just playing very mediocre baseball, as have many in this division,
yeah.
Frankly.
Yep.
The Mets have stepped up a little bit, and they're starting to swing the bat a little bit better there. They've kind of buoyed themselves with all the injuries they've had. They're still pitching pretty darn well, and that's what's keeping them afloat. Obviously, I believe in pitching always, and that's the one that takes over. But you make a good point, Ike, because if they play well during the course of this next month, like 3 weeks or so, then that's has a real good chance to catapult them forward as far as their mojo is concerned, and that means a lot. I mean, you can talk a lot about momentum on both sides of the coin, plus and minus, and if they get things going, then that confidence can start to move forward, and it's always better to start, it's always better to finish strong than it is to end weekly, and hopefully they can do that this year. They've had a tough time doing that over the last few years.
Ruben, you mentioned a few minutes ago buyers or sellers. And the Phillies, you know, coming into the year, we assumed buyer. We assumed contender, at least in this division or for a wild card. But this has got to be a tricky spot for a general manager, right? The Phillies are in the middle, so the next 3 weeks you kind of push them one way or the other. And you had different teams. You had great teams. You had some teams that were rebuilding or kind of in that mode to almost rebuild. Is there a date? Is there a moment? Like, when you have those years when you're in the middle, how do you know, Ruben? How do you know if the team is worth investing in, or it's maybe a year where you invest a little or you kind of pull back and sell? How difficult is that when you're in a season like the Phillies are in right now?
It is a tough one because they're playing very mediocre baseball. They're under 500, and it's difficult to see whether or not there hasn't been a spot during the course of the year yet where you'd look at the team and they say, hey, you know, they've won 10 out of 11 games. They've won 8 out of 10 games. They've played really good, solid baseball for 2 weeks, and that hasn't happened. And if I'm watching from above, like Dave Dombrowski and Sam Foldar, I'm thinking to myself, what kind of team do I have? I don't even know what I have right now. Is this a good enough team to really contend? The players are going to let you know. The players and the way they play and the way they perform, they'll let you know. So far, they have not. It has not been consistent enough. And I think, obviously, they have the ability to do it. I think they have the talent, but they have to perform. And if they're not performing, then that's they may be going the other way as far as retooling for next year, as opposed to buying and trying to add for this year.
Rube, last one for you. So baseball is about to crack down on what they're deeming a foreign substance abuse in terms of pitchers just, you know,
scuffing. A lot of cheating going on,
yeah, Ruben. Yeah, Ruben, there is. And I'm curious.
You ain't trying.
Well, that's what it seems like. Then every pitcher's trying right now. Ruben, I'm curious your perspective as someone who was a general manager, then a coach, right? You were on the field not too long ago. What's your guess, just based on your eyes as a fan, now a broadcaster, someone who was on the field not too long ago? What is your guess on how prevalent this is? Because it certainly seems like baseball thinks this is a pressing need that can't be. We can't wait till the offseason. They got to start cracking down immediately. What's your guess on how difficult or how significant this is?
Well, it's obvious that Major League Baseball is seeing the daunting offensive numbers, right? And they have to, and we're looking at a product right now. It's not, for the fans, it's not very exciting. I mean, listen, if people aren't getting on base and getting hits and making things happen on the field, then the fans are not going to enjoy baseball, and that's what's happening right now. So, and I would have to say that once you have, you know, 5, 10, 15 players doing something and they're gaining an advantage, everybody is going to try to do it. My understanding is that even some of the organizations are helping them with some of this cheating. And if that's the case, that's another reason, a very strong and important reason, why the MLB and the commissioner's office is cracking down on this. And I think eventually they're going to have to work something out, the MLBPA, to figure out if there is a substance that is acceptable to be able to use. Listen, as far as I know, and I mean, you can probably attest, if there's a way for somebody to skirt or to cheat or to gain an advantage, someone, an athlete, will take that advantage. And if that guy is having success with it, then the next guy is going to do it. And then the next guy is going to do it. And it's not going to stop until someone puts a stop to it.
Yep.
And I think that's what MLB is doing.
Well, they better, because I'm tired of watching 30 strikeouts a night, Ruben. I love the game.
I don't disagree with you. It is awful baseball, and it is disappointing. I've been watching this since 2019 as a scout, when I was scouting, and as well when I was coaching in 2018 with the Mets. It's just boring. I mean, we're talking about boring baseball, and we need to have some more excitement. And if there's a way to create that, and if stopping the guys from cheating and to be able to spin the ball and to create, that disadvantage to the hitters, if you can stop that and make it a little bit more offensive game, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, we do too, and hopefully it starts soon. Ruben, always appreciate you hopping on. Thank you. We'll chat soon.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, Joe, you guys be well.
There he goes, Ruben Amaro Jr. Yes, like they're going to start cracking down, I think, sometime the end of this week or next week. Like they're going to start checking pitchers. Are they coming to games?
Let's start tonight. What the hell are we waiting on?
Well, you know what they're doing. They're giving these guys a chance to figure out, yes, get the stuff off your glove.
You better figure out how to adjust, yes.
The warnings are out there now. Jack, did you were using the sticky stuff at Bloomsburg?
I probably should have. I mean, I might not be here today, which would have been a loss for you two. But I actually never used it. Like, I never used any of the sunscreen or anything.
Yeah. What is it with this sport, man, that there always has to be some type of, you know, angle, right? We got to be cheating somehow.
No, because listen,
what is it with baseball?
Here's the truth.
What?
There's a lot of games. There's nothing else to do during the game. You figure out ways to cheat.
Is that what it is?
There's a lot of time on your hands in the dugout.
And I'm going to tell you what else it is, in all seriousness. And this is why baseball is difficult to play. It's hard. It's hard to have success at that level.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're dealing with failure the majority of the time.
More than any other sport.
Yeah, you just start. And I can understand why guys are like, you know what, man, I'm not in this to just be flailing away or getting rocked. I want to be in this to dominate. When you look at the other sports, the great athletes have the ability to dominate their sport. Basketball, football. You want to go to hockey, you want to go to golf, you want to go to tennis. They can dominate their sport. It's rare that you can dominate the game of baseball. Baseball is so difficult just in its essence of how the game is played. You can't dominate the game.
You're right. I'll go to also something Rube said there about how when you watch one guy do it, you're like, well, he's doing it.
I'm going to do it. Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened during
the steroid era.
Like,
for sure.
There were players that were good. There were 20 home run hitters. They were getting drowned out. Like, oh, he's just another guy. Well, that person's like, well, if I take steroids, I could be a 40 home run guy. I guarantee there's some pitchers out there that were pretty good. They were striking out, you know, one batter per inning, and no one even paid attention to them. And like, well, this guy's striking out everybody. He's using the sticky stuff. I'm going to use it too. Yeah. So I think it's a copycat thing. It feels like I've heard players and managers say that it's never been harder to hit ever in the history of baseball, which is incredible. Right. But like the average batting average is like .235. That's normal.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Hold on. What did they give? What did the Yankees give Gerrit Cole?
$320-something million.
Using sticky stuff too.
Yeah, well, and his you ready for this? His RPMs have gone down on his fastball the last couple of starts.
He got the warning.
Just saying, you pay a pitcher that type of money, yeah, they're all out there putting stuff on their hands.
You know what I thought about when Ruben threw out the idea that maybe some teams are helping pitchers do this? Well, I'm going to make a guess here. The Phillies aren't, because if they were, maybe the bullpen wouldn't be as bad the last 2 years.
Yeah, we know we're not guilty of it.
No, these guys all natural with their ERAs. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. We appreciate Ruben hopping on. And, yes, big game tonight for the Phillies. Nola on the mound.
How about the ATL invading Philly?
Yeah, the Hawks here?
Yeah.
And the Braves.
We
going to send them back with losses, or are we going to be upset?
Send Lemon Pepper Lou back.
Yeah, it's a bad night. It's a bad night to be an Atlanta sports fan.
Well, listen, and the Hawks been hanging in town for 3 days. The Braves, I would imagine, got here yesterday. It's been 90-plus degrees here.
Yeah, they brought the humidity with them.
For 4 days. Yeah, let's send these Hawks out of here, man. Let's get them up out of here.
Let's send all these Atlanta teams out. You know what I hope tonight? What we talked about yesterday? Who's the Atlanta Hawks fan we saw on the TV on Sunday?
Oh, Quavo.
I don't want to see any Quavo tonight.
Yeah, I don't want to see any Quavo tonight,
If I see Quavo, I'm upset. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in here. Our Twitter question, sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Looking for that perfect graduation present, or maybe you want to get a jump on Father's Day. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville has dads and grads covered. Shop online at marks-jewelers.com. Couple of poll questions for you. Tonight's Sixers game is a must win or a can't lose? It's a must win. A must win is running away with this thing. It's 77%.
So when it's a must win, that means everybody's up is nervous.
Right? That's right. It's a must win. Going down 0-2 is in. You can't do that. So it's a must win. And you're feeling on tonight's game. 54% believe it's a close win tonight. 33% believe a blowout win by the Sixers. It's a lot of people. 33%.
Has that gone up? The total.
Yeah, the total. Yeah, the total's at 87%.
No, it's going down.
It's gone down. Right, 80. Yeah. It was at 88, and at 13% feel lose.
Is that's gone up?
That's gone up a little bit. The realists are coming into the building now.
No, yeah, everybody just get off work.
Yeah, I guess, they're getting ready for the game. Like, I don't know about this. But most people think close win tonight. 215-592-9494. And we opened earlier, we're talking about Fletcher Cox. The story in the Inquirer yesterday by Jeff McClain, and the idea is that the Eagles are concerned here. There's some internal concern with Fletcher Cox and how he's going to age. He's 30 years old now. And if he's going to be part of this thing for the long term, if he's going to take care of his body, if he's going to want to be here as they transition. And my feeling is this. If the Eagles have any concern that Fletcher is going to be here for the long term, he makes $24 million this year, $24 million next year, and they're not sure his body's going to hold up to be here long term, then I would look to trade him now. I would solicit offers for Fletcher Cox, and if you could get something significant, I would trade him. Because if you have worry, my fear is like it becomes Zach Ertz, where you keep him, he gets hurt or he declines, and then you're stuck next year, because they're stuck right now with the Ertz thing. And
well, they're not really stuck. They could move on if they wanted.
Or they could just tell him to show up and training camp starts and see what he does. But they're stuck in an uncomfortable spot with a franchise icon. And I don't want it, as much as you don't want to just move on from a franchise icon, I don't want it to be another messy divorce with a franchise icon. And that's what happens.
I agree with you on that.
When you keep older guys and there's issues, there could be that. And if I could get something now, the Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl this year anyway. I would trade them now, get something, get another draft pick, which you can't have too many of those. Get another pick and keep restocking this franchise. I would trade Fletcher.
And see, I would look at it and say, while people say Fletcher had a down year last year, I would say, no, Fletcher just wasn't his normal dominant self. He actually had, you can make the argument, somewhat of a better year than he had the year before.
Last year compared to 2019.
Yeah, compared to 2019.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't coming off the injury last year.
That's what you're saying. When he was coming off the injury in 2019, he bounced back. And last year was a weird year, man. It just was. It was a weird year. It was a weird year inside the building. They had three guys that made the Pro Bowl last year. And other than Brandon Graham, I don't necessarily think they had anybody that was worthy of a Pro Bowl. And BGs mostly came in the first 10 games of the season.
Almost as many Pro Bowlers as wins last year.
Yeah, exactly. And we watched them play last year. This was a bad football team. Full disclosure, led by the quarterback in his play.
Bad.
Yeah, needed to get that out there because I know you wanted to get that out there, but it was. And that impacted everyone else. But here's what else I would tell you. Not only did his play impact the guys on the field, the fact that this is your supposed franchise quarterback and there's mixed feelings in the building about what's going on, how he's being treated, how he's feeling, how Doug is handling everything. So I say that to say, not to make excuses for Carson. This isn't about Carson. What it's about is Fletcher is very close with him. So how do we know how this impacts the rest of these guys as they're festering in this culture of uncertainty and backstabbing and finger-pointing? Stories coming out. And it's like, hold on. These guys are talking about my guy. Right? So if you're a Wentz guy, you're saying this stuff is happening with somebody that I'm close with.
It wasn't a strong united front over there
last
year.
No, it just wasn't. So here's what I'm saying. And Fletcher hasn't, at least publicly, shown any displeasure with the organization and not wanting to be here. From everything I gather, he's an Eagle through and through. He wants to be here. Now, he carries a certain amount of weight in the building that rubs some people the wrong way. But you know what? When you're as good as he is, when you've done some of the things he's done, won a championship, you've been around here, you've been through, what, four coaches now? Fletcher has been here for Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson, and now Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He's a mainstay. He's a mainstay. So he deserves a little more say. You know, when people wonder, well, how he's going to Fletcher to talk, he probably knows Fletcher better than some of these coaches.
It's true. He's been here 10 years.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm okay with any of that. I'm okay with any of that. And if this team has a chance to turn it around in the very near future with this coach and with this quarterback, I believe Fletcher still has 3 to 4 more good years of football left in him. Why wouldn't I want that to be here? As long as it can be worked out from a financial standpoint and he's willing to make those type of adjustments, he's a locker room guy. He's a culture guy from a positive side to me. I wouldn't even think about trading Fletcher Cox.
All right, I would. Ike would not. Let's see what you guys say. 215-592-9495. We'll get to all your calls coming up on the Sixers. If you trade Fletcher Cox and your best side characters in TV show history on this, of course, Jerry Stiller's birthday. But also coming up next, a concerning trend heading into tonight's Sixers game. What is it? Don't miss it right here on Mark Cerie, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.